Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I guess Hertz and Avis didn't have any offices in Jerusalem. Go into the city and get a colt on which no one has ever sat and bring it to me. What you doing there, taking that colt? The Lord said he had need of it. Okay, we'll bring it back. Didn't sound like they signed any papers in triplicate. Doesn't sound like they had to show a driver's license or anything like that. But do you realize, and I did not grow up on a farm. I lived in a farming area for about 10 years, but I have a sneaking suspicion that if they brought a colt on which no one had ever sat, and anybody tried to get up on it, what probably would have happened? Be off real fast. Why? Because somehow there is a feeling of fright or animosity or something between humans and animals. We're afraid of them, they're afraid of us. There are some creatures I don't particularly like in my neighborhood, the squirrels. But I don't necessarily worry that every one of them is going to come and jump on me like in that TV ad. But what does it mean when Jesus says an animal on which none has ridden? We're learning a little bit more about who he is just in that little comment. In the beginning of Mark, Mark will say not about the temptations of Jesus. He will just say that Jesus was among the wild animals, and the angels came and ministered to him. He's God. He's holy. He's pure. He's without sin. He is no threat to the animal. It's the way it would have been before the fall. It's the way it is going to be in eternity, however God plans it. But for him right now, bring in an animal that's never been ridden, and I'll get on and we'll be at peace together. It'll be like we've been together for years. This is someone different who's coming into Jerusalem. I almost couldn't help myself when I was talking to the kids about the parade. There are two parades that week. This one is the spontaneous one. Mark tells us this is the first time that Jesus has come to Jerusalem. We hear from John that he had been there before, but as Mark tells the story, there is a kind of a buzz about what's going on now that's different from anything that had ever happened before. Jesus is coming. And everybody who's coming from all around the country to come up for Passover wants to get in on the parade. They throw their clothing down. They throw palms down. He is welcomed as a king would be welcomed after a victory. What was the victory? Well, three times in Mark, the end of chapter 8, the end of chapter 9, and the end of chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be put to death, and on the third day I will rise. And I will ransom you from your sins. I will deliver you from what's wrong between you and God in your heart that leads you to see God as the enemy. And I will make it so that we will all be at peace once again. You will be at peace with me and my Father, and I will be at peace with you. And we will live that way for all eternity. The beginning of it comes now. Paul Meyer, a professor of history at Western Michigan University, his father was the first Lutheran Hour speaker, Walter A. Meyer. Among the books that he has written, he wrote about the events in Jerusalem and says, don't think it's the same crowd. They didn't turn on him. That other crowd was all the pilgrims coming in celebrating that a very important person was in their midst. And Jesus would even say during this week, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, but he won't tolerate what goes on in the temple where the people are getting ripped off while they're seeking to bring their offerings to God. But the leaders will see him as a threat nonetheless. Our old sinful nature sees him as a threat. He's going to show us up for what we aren't. He's going to look through our hearts and realize that we aren't all that excited about him being there. Our old sinful nature never is. It's a problem within our own being, not just a problem between some good and some bad. Within our own being, the one that we are born with wants to be in charge, wants nobody in charge of us, wants no king, good or otherwise. And yet our Lord comes. He comes from before the foundation of the world to come to give his life so that we might have life. This is a strange thing. It doesn't make any sense. The Almighty God taking on flesh, coming onto this earth and being treated as a criminal to die. We can be happy about the parades, the happy days, but within a week, there'll be a different crowd. Some women still lamenting, but many, come on, Jesus, come on down from the cross if you're the Son of God. Save us, then we'll believe. And he'll be mocked and scourged. And he'll be put to death. That's how our story begins. Happy New Year. It begins with the fact that there's also Easter morning. There's also an empty tomb that says ours will be empty as well. It says that there is a parade yet to come, the likes of which we've never seen. A parade of all the faithful who will be gathered to honor and praise the Lord for all eternity. Not before he finishes the job, but now that it's done. And it means that as we live our lives here now, in spite of all of the things that we struggle with, in spite of all of the burdens that we carry, we get to have the glimmer of that hope, of the joy, of that which will last forever. Of life the way it was intended and not the way we experience it. The anger and the hatred in this world, the brokenness, the suspicion, the arrogance, the emptiness, the desire to have it different, trying very hard to put together the best we can, and it never just seems to be right. There's always something wrong. No matter what the day, no matter how perfect the day, something always comes to threaten it. Maybe it gets there, maybe it doesn't, but it comes to threaten. And as we see those things come in our lives, we recognize that they are not from a God who's coming to try to shape us up and hurt us and get us to change. But as they come, the Lord who came to give us life is with us and says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. My empty tomb means yours will be empty. My parade into Jerusalem, and even my parade through Jerusalem, was followed up by a parade up to Galilee, where I appeared, told the good news there, and in Jerusalem, where I appeared and told the good news there. And now I send you out to tell the good news. The good news that every human being is at peace with me, who says, I need your salvation. And as the Spirit opens our hearts to say we need that salvation, that desire to be part of his kingdom is there. And so we can rejoice and we can settle down and we can live our lives as people who are inside that kingdom of grace, who are at peace with God, as was even that animal, as we look forward to that day when he comes again. It's time to join the parade and invite others to join it. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.